So, we're looking at third group plus. And let me bring up so I can see the results. Oops, I forgot to put in the other one. These names seem really nice when I'm making them.
That's my idea.
Okay, this is an alternative way of writing an if statement. Okay. Oh, that would help. I was organized except for that.
Cord is on.
Yeah. Three group plus.
No, that's the same one. You need to post it on now. That's it.
Oh,
it's the same. Well, I think she's posting. Third group's up twice.
Where is it up twice?
On the web page.
Oh. Huh. How about that? Has everybody found third group plus? Okay, it says third group, but it comes up the third. Okay, you're right. Huh. Wasn't I clever? Okay, if I go over to code examples, there it is, under code examples. So if you go over to code examples, you can find it there. I copied and pasted and didn't fix, apparently. So there is third group plus over under the examples there. Okay, so this is what I have got coded up there. And it says if you go, the one is all basic if. Note when you have an opening, you now have a colon. So notice here, this was A equals 12. And instead of starting a curly brace, I've got a colon there. Okay, so there's a colon right after the if statement. Yes, no, maybe? Bring it up, folks.
Yes.
Honest, there's a colon right there. Honest. Okay? So you put in a colon, and then you put in the stuff that you want to have. And then if you want an else, you also put a colon there. And then the end if ends the if statement.
This is just a different way of doing
it. It's just a different way of doing an if statement. Okay, it's an alternate way to ask an if statement. I think a lot of people just ask if statements in every language and don't bother with all of the fancy stuff that you can have, but this is one of them that you can have. So, I have an A equals 12, colon, echo the contents is 12, and I put in multiple things just to show that I could still have multiple things. Because in the regular if statement, if you just put in one thing, then an else, one other thing, you don't actually have to have the curly braces. However, you're probably going to end up going back and sticking something else in at some point, and then you're going to have to add all the curly braces. So most people use the curly braces. Okay, so this one is saying if A equals 12, do some stuff. Else, and a colon after that, do some stuff, and then end if. Okay? So that's just an alternative way that you can do it. And when I wrote it, I put in 7, and so I'm getting the else. Okay, because I put in A is 7, and I tested to see if A was equal 12. It wasn't, so I'm getting the else. And it's writing the contents of A is, and then I put it down on the next line again, just so I could get a bunch of stuff in there. And then I wrote 7 is not 12. Okay. But the main purpose of this is just to show the difference in the structures. Okay. And then the next one, okay, I just did the same thing. I just did a couple of other examples. This one using variables that are not just numerics. And so I wrote them to do two different things. Okay, on one of them I did it the way I did it. On this one I broke it apart. Okay, so I wrote out if pet equals dog, colon, and then I ended the PHP. Then I wrote something that's basically HTML. I put out dog. And then I put the else inside PHP and put out not a dog. And then I put endif inside PHP. Some people seem to like this style. I'm not real fond of it. If I can stay in, why not stay in and use the echo as opposed to going over to the HTML? But you see people do this, going back and forth between PHP and HTML. Now notice that I didn't even mention HTML in this one. Okay, let me bring up the answer to that one. Okay. So this one is here. I didn't even mention HTML. There's no HTML outside. It's just starting with PHP. But it is going ahead and letting me do things like BR and everything else. So it's allowing me to have the HTML embedded in it, even though I said it was PHP. So HTML naturally goes along with PHP. Okay? So, again, I leave the PHP, I write out the word dog, I then have the else in there just in case. I leave the PHP and write out not a dog, and so forth. Okay, as I said, it's up to you what you want to do. Some people apparently don't like writing echoes or prints or something, so they go back out to HTML where you can put it out. And if there's a reason why you want to do it in HTML, then it makes sense. But I don't see the going in and out drives me crazy. Okay. And so this one went in and has a whole bunch of things combined with an else if. And again, using the colon. So if inventory equals A, and I've got a colon there, and I put out a particular something, a message, and then I have an else if, which is not an else, and then an if. It's a thing that stands alone. It's an else if. Okay, so I can have then else if it's a B, else if it's a C, and I have a colon after each of those. Else, which is the catch-all, which says it's not an A, B, or a C, and then I end if, and I echo out whatever I put into message. Okay? So this gives you the ELSIF, which most languages have. Okay, this is an alternate if structure is the name of it.
Professor?
Yeah?
You have to semicolon after every ELSIF?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep, I've got a semicolon, okay? So I didn't spell it right. Alternate if structure PHP. I've got PHP twice. Okay, so I've got there the code is C. But again, this is an if statement with a colon after it. Then I have ELSIF with a colon after it. ELSIF with a colon after it. And then the catch-all is a plain else with a colon after it. Okay? And then I end the whole thing with an ENDIF. Now, what I can do, obviously, is I could have used curly braces on this. So ENDIF allows curly braces, too. So I can just have my ordinary curly braces here and surround each of these in curly braces. Okay?
You have multiple like messages or stuff going on under the ENDIF. Can you still use the semicolon in the ENDIF?
Yes. Yeah, that first example, I purposely put in a bunch of echoes, if you remember. So I had a bunch of stuff going on, and it let it do it. So if you happen to like this style better, it's a style you can use, or you can use curly braces. Despite the fact that I can't stand curly braces, I still like them better than this for some reason. I think I lose colons or something. I was raised on COBOL, and COBOL has words. And it doesn't have curly braces, and it doesn't have, it just has words. And that was my first language, and I developed a fondness for it. Okay, and this one is doing the same thing, but it is doing it without the ELSIF. So I just have the else's, colon, else, colon, if it's B, else, if it's C, and it works the same way. Okay. So this one is going to...
You know the difference is, too, when you do it this way, you have to have an ENDIF for every end.
Yes.
And the other way, you don't have to do one ENDIF at all.
That's right. That's right. The ELSIF, even when you use the curly braces, you can still have the ELSIF go all along.
Yeah, and then end it with one ENDIF.
Right. Well, if you're using the colon, but if you're using the curly braces, you just end it with the curly braces.
Yeah.
Okay. And this one, I added the one. So on this one, I made the code a D, and so its code is not A, B, C, or D. Okay. Taking in user data is a wonderful thing, but when you're trying to test some how now these things work, it's a lot easier to just go in and change whatever I want here and test it with an A, test it with a B, than taking in data.
You like the problem I had the other night when I sent you the assignment, and for the life of me, I'm like, this ain't working. I don't know why. And then when you sent that back, I was like, oh, yeah, I had to change a variable. I'm not entering the variables.
That's right. That's right. You have to just go in and change that so that you can test everything. But it's a lot easier to test this way than it is to have the two programs. And as I said, we will get to the point where we enter data and use it all in the same form, but that's involves a little more, so we're not doing it yet. Okay. Yeah, no, that was your problem. You.
Yeah, after you say, after you're like, oh, I changed the variable, it worked fine. I was like, yeah, I must have spent a week on this computer today.
Okay. So here I have one where I am taking in the data. So here I said, take in a first NOM and a second NOM and a what to do. Okay, so I'm asking them to put in first NOM, second NOM, and what they want to do, meaning add, subtract, multiply, divide. And I am passing that off to the ifcalc PHP, and the method I'm using is get. Okay, so that's this one. And then if I come up with this, okay, so enter two numbers in either one of those things. So I am entering 12 and 3, and I'm saying I want to do a divide. And then I submit it, and it says the problem is 12 divided by 3, and the answer is 4. So that was the gather, and then this is the one where I say receive it with the get. And this has, if you're not seeing display errors right, this is something you can add in. If display errors is not working, then this will override and turn it on. And so that little command, INI underscore set display errors. So if you're not seeing errors for some reason, if you've set it up, then this comes in. I think they have it set up so you automatically get them, so I don't think you need them. But that's just a, if you do. So this came in, and on this one I went back to curly braces. So I have if to do equals plus, then do the add, do the subtract, do the multiply, do the divide. PHP very nicely has the concatenate as a decimal point, as opposed to a plus, so I can actually add, okay, without having to convert. So if I go back over to where I was running this, and I put in that I want a plus, it actually adds and does the 15 without me converting. Okay, if you go back to JavaScript and some other things, you have to do the conversion. But this one uses a dot as concatenate symbol, so it's fine. So I passed all of those things over, and if you look, I used the get to do it, and so you can see where it is passing the stuff, okay? So it is passing the things over, and then I can go and do the add. Okay. And this one hasn't changed anything on that. The if calc is the same. It's just that if I'm going to pass it and do different things, I make two if calcs so that I don't have to go in and change the names of stuff internally. Okay, so this is another one where I'm going to say 15 and 5. And again, I'll add and submit, and I've got the right answer. And if I look at calc PHP, okay, this one I pulled all of the curly braces out and I didn't put the colons in, and it is still working. Okay, originally, and you may have the original, do you have an original on this? You don't have this, or do you have the answer? Have it? I played with it this weekend, so I will.
Well, I just redownloaded it because okay. I didn't have my stuff didn't match the one you had.
Okay, So this one is going along, and I experimented by taking out all the curly braces. At one point, this all had curly braces in it, and that was the one that we just looked at. The calc had all the curly braces. So I went in and I experimented and took out all the curly braces, just to show you.
So you don't need to use the semicolon?
But you cannot, then you don't have to have the semicolon, because there is one thing and only one thing to be done. Okay? If I put a second thing in here, so let's say I'm going to do that a second time, so I've now got two commands in there. Okay? So that one is not what I wanted. Okay, so I'm going to go back and I am going to refresh that and do, well, I won't need to do a subtract because I made the change in the subtract, so, and I submit, and actually I didn't need to do a subtract. I'm getting the syntax error. And the syntax error I'm getting is because I have two things going on here. Okay, so you got to have the curly braces unless you only have one thing going on. And at least what I find is that you go back and modify programs enough such that it's a good idea not to count on these kinds of things. Okay? In CSS, if you remember, you don't have to have a semicolon after the last thing in the CSS. If you're putting up all of the CSS up at the top, you don't have to have a semicolon after the last one. Why? You know, you might as well put it there because you're probably going to go in and add one more thing to it. And then if you've got the semicolon there, it's not a problem. And that's the same thing here. If you're doing a quick and dirty, that's fine. But if you're doing it for posterity, then you really want to make it so somebody can add something in. Okay, the next one is that compare where I did the same thing, actually. Okay, it's without the curly braces. Okay, if you want to, you can actually write it this way. Okay, don't think it's terribly understandable, but you can write it that way. So I can write it all going across as one line if I so choose. Okay. Okay, and this one basically gets into doing a lot of things with, I can't spell message down here. I must not have tested it with that working. Okay. This would not have been a good thing. Message had an A in it here, so that would have come up. So if I had tried to execute that, I would have had a problem. And let's see, calculate 3 uses the case. And that's what we're starting to look at now. I said inventory code equals B. And I want to do the word is switch, depending on what is in inventory code. And so the case that it's an A, this is what I want to do. And then I want to break out. And when you use case, you have to put the break in there. Or else it finds the first one that meets the criteria and then tends to fall through and do the next ones. So you need to put the break in. Yeah.
So what's the kind of explanation of why switch and case exists? They're just unfamiliar to me. So I'm wondering, like, is it always in the another way to do an if statement?
Yes, that's
okay.
All it is.
Okay, that's all it is.
And it is actually held, I think most every language has it, has some kind of case structure.
Okay.
And it allows you to ask the if questions another way.
Okay.
Okay, it tends to be not when I'm doing a complex if, where you're not going to use this if I'm asking if the answer is greater than 5 and the amount is greater than 30, etc.
Okay.
It's the kind of thing where I'm looking at a particular code and I want to just check that code and do a very straightforward thing.
Thank you.
And then after this, the default is if I don't get a yes to one of those, then I do the default. Okay. So that is a very basic case structure. And if I go over and run that, what was it called? If compare 3. Okay, and I'm coming out and saying code is B, which indeed it is. And then if compare 3A, just tested the same thing, but this time I put in an N, so I got the default. Okay.
And what's... Oh, the break is just the new line kind of thing?
A break is to break out of this thing, to break out of this. If I go back to the last one, so I'm going back to this one, and if I take the break out of these, and that's the one that I had. So I will just do a refresh on this. Okay, it just falls through to the last one. So the code was still a B. Okay, I am doing compare 3, right? Because I just realized the other one gets the same answer. Compare 3. Okay. And this is compare 3. I've taken the break out of those. And so it just kept dropping through, basically, and took the last thing. So it didn't break out of it. Okay, and if I go back and put break back in here, okay, it's back to code is B. When I put the break in, it's now working. So in the case structure, you have to have the break. Okay, it's not going to work correctly if you don't. Okay, and then switch. These are just a bunch of these that are using the switch. This one was using it as a number. Okay, and this one I just put in to show you that it doesn't have to be sequential. I can be looking for case 100, case 200, case 300. It doesn't have to be 1, 2, 3. Somebody asked me that question at one point. Okay, it can be like this. And that was switch 2, and then switch 3 is putting a compound in there. So you don't tend to use it for this, but you can. Okay, so I've got num and I'm testing num and I'm testing to see, but notice I'm always testing num. I'm just testing one thing. And the example I gave you where you wouldn't use it, I use answer and amount. Okay, and that you wouldn't use it for. But this one I said, okay, if num is greater than or equal to 1 and it's less than or equal to 100. And so I've got compounds going on in here and it works just fine. Actually, that was the same, but it's just testing. The A's are usually the same, but they're just testing a different piece of data so that you can see both of them. And this one I said without, this one with an OR. So this one I put an OR in there just to show you what to do it. I have these two in an AND relationship, and I have these two in an OR relationship. So anything over 200 or 0 or less is going to get there, which means that the default should never happen because I should never fall out and get to that because I've tested everything. So I claim the default shouldn't happen, but I put in a message saying shouldn't happen, so if it does, I'll go back and look at my logic and see why what shouldn't have happened happened. Okay? So that's the last one of these. Okay, so these are just alternate ways of writing ifs. You never have to use any of them. You can just stick to plain if statements and go through life very happily. But you should at least know that the other options exist. Okay, the next one that I want to look at is the Boston Tea Party. And this is what I'm asking you to do this week, is to write something like this. So I'm going to Boston Tea PHP. Okay. Boston Tea PHP. I didn't put the H in there. Okay. So basically what I'm doing here is writing an educational game for somebody. So I said something, information about it, and then I said the Sons of Liberty advised the colonists to pay the taxes. So this is a question based on the reading that supposedly the kid was doing up here. Okay? So if I click on true and send the answer, it comes past and says answer true is incorrect. Okay? And if I click on false and send the answer, then it comes out and says false was correct. Okay, and gives you information about it, confirming information. And then I said the colonists responded by, and I have sinking the boat, using the tea, but refusing to pay taxes, disguising themselves as Mohawks and dumping the tea. So if I do sinking the boat, I get they did not sink it. Okay, if I get using the T, I get they did not sink the ship or use the T. Actually, I got that in the other one, I think. Or use the T. So I handled the no's as one thing. And then here, you're correct. Okay. And so that is the last page. And I asked you to do four pages, so this one's got three, and just to go with one more question. So I put a bunch of pictures in here. I've cited where the pictures came from. And I've got the sets of information going through here. Okay? So. What?
No, I was just looking at the content. That's a lot of content. Like in the coding, the actual script, the source.
Yes,
code.
Yes. Yes. So now, if you go and look at this. Okay, I've got a bunch of JPEGs in there, and then my front page is index.html. Because remember, when you open a site, so if I go to a site, when you go to my site, the page that you're seeing is is index.html. If you go to pgrocer.net, you don't have to put in a page. You're just saying go to www.pgrocer.net. What it does is it finds my page that's called index.html, and that's what it opens. Okay, and I think Homeworks and Main may work too, but most people use index. Okay, so index.html opens. So that is my first page here. And if I edit it, well, that's not very good. Okay. Maybe. Huh.
Everything's on the PHP
site. Seeing one response.
Yeah.
That's what it is. I thought, okay. So there's the page, PHP. I thought I used index. I'd forgotten. Okay. So I started out. And I've got a picture in here, and I've got comments about the picture. And then I set up this info on scene one. And I set up a style thing using these here docs. I remember the name. And then I came down, and I have my form action. Okay, and my form action is to ask the questions. So I have radio buttons here. Okay? And the radio button is named answer. And with radio buttons, you have to give them the same name or else they don't know that they go together. The name means, okay, because I could have a bunch of things with radio buttons all over the form. Giving them the same name means these are grouped together, so you can only click one of them. If I gave them different names, then they would be considered independent, and I could click them both. But by giving them the same name, I lock it into the fact that these have to do with the same set of radio buttons, so you can't click two of them. And then the value is what I'm going to be testing for. So the value is true and the value is false, and I'm submitting this, and send answer is what I am writing. Okay? So I'm doing a submit there. Okay. So I am starting out, and I went into PHP. Okay? And I used a structure of a table in here, so I've set things up on a table. Okay, so I used the structure of a table to set up and make the thing work. So here is where I define scene one, and here is where I say print scene one. So I'm actually printing out scene one at that point.
Professor,
Yep.
You might have covered this already, but the three arrows next to the scene one.
Yeah.
What is that for again?
Those are that I'm setting up the three, these things next to info. Those things are basically saying I'm going to set up this whole stream of stuff. And it's going to be inside info, and down here I end the info. And so all that stuff is being assigned to scene one. And so then when I say further down, print scene one, all that stuff comes up as part of scene one.
And I'm taking C++, so you know,
I
kind of
confused me. Oh, I understand. Okay, so I started out, as I said, and I did a table. So I started out, and I have a table, and I have a row, and then I put a TV in there, and I put in the picture. Okay? And then I am continuing on and going and putting out the information and the things that you have to take the action for. So if I go over here, the structure of this page, okay, is that I have the Boston Tea Party on one side and I have the words and the questions on another side, and then this is all for everything.
So what's the table?
The table is just a structure, so that I made it easy to put the picture here and this over here.
All right, so all that is basically in the table.
That's right.
Okay.
So I just used a table as the structure for the look that I wanted on the page, because I wanted things next to each other, and to tell you the truth, CSS people would tell you you should do it all with CSS. But it's a lot easier to just throw it into a table and have one column for one thing and one column for another thing. And so that's what I did.
Yep. So you don't have to do it. You could just like div class.
You can set it up any way you want to. And, you know, when you do this, feel free to set it up any way you want to. I just want the idea of a page coming up. You've got to ask some questions. The next page has got to evaluate those questions and that sort of thing. That's what I'm looking for you to do. How you structure the page is totally up to you. You know, I structured it one way, you can structure it another. It's totally up to you. But this class is not getting heavily into CSS. And so basically a table is just a nice way of setting up a structure. Okay, so I started out and I said, here's the TR, and then the TD, which is the column basically, I've got the picture in. And then I started another TD right here. And all this PHP is in the other TD. Because notice I started the TD, and then I've got all of this, and I finally ended down here. So all of that is in the other column. I have the write-up followed by the questions, okay, in the other column. And then I close the TD. And I close the TR, and I close the table. Now, I could have kept this stuff down here in the table and just done a thing where I did a row span, column span. And so I could have done a column span and put that stuff in, but instead I just closed the table and then put the references in down there. Okay? So it's up to you how you want to structure it. But the important thing is that I wanted the answers to come out. And notice the true and false there have a capital T and a capital F. And that's the ones out here. Okay, so this is the word that is showing up next to the radio button. This is the value. Okay, that is going to be sent. And so I'm going over to scene1response.php, and it is going to receive the true or the false. Okay? It's going to receive the true or the false. So now if I look at the second page, this is scene one response. And the test is down here, where I said, if answer equals true, print this. And if answer is not equal to true, print this. And I've got in there a division that I'm printing. What I'm printing is the division with the style equal answer style. So I have defined the answer style up here. And it is going to use that style. And it is printing out true message, which I defined up here. So I used a lot of these here dark things in this one. And again, I'd like you to use at least one or two of those just so you see how they work. But how you set up this is really up to you. But I would like you to use a little bit of those here docs so that you can at least experiment with doing it. And remember what I told you last time about the here doc. The close one has to be against the left margin. It can't be indented. Okay, and that can be extremely frustrating if you don't remember that. Okay? So what I did here is I went in and I set up all of these different things. So I've got, here's the post where I received the answer. Okay, so here's where I'm receiving the answer. And then I've got the true message set up. I've got the false message set up. I've got the question style set up, and I've got the answer style set up. Okay? So if you look back at the page, okay, I've got my header going across there. Then I've got the answer, and the answer style is what put it into the green box and made it have a particular style. And then I go down, and beneath this, I am putting in another picture, another write-up, and another set of questions. Okay. So that's what the page looks like. And if I go over to this, okay, I did all the stuff at the top, and then I came down and again started a table where I put the image in, put the write-up in, and put the questions in. Okay, so again, the only purpose of using the table was I wanted two columns. And that's an easy way of getting two columns. Is to just say, I've got a table here that's got two columns and multiple rows if I want multiple rows. Okay, but it's an easy way to do that. And then I've got three questions down below. So up at the top, I again set up everything. I put in, the question was, did the Sons of Liberty, and notice that was done with embedded style. So that was the green and the font size 16, so that was what you saw at the top. Okay. Then I took in the answer, and down here, and then I set up all the stuff I'm going to use. I took in the answer, I set up the true message, the false message, and the stuff that I was going to use. And then I said, okay, if answer equals true, then print out, okay, the true message and use the style that is defined as answer style. And then if it's false, print out the false message and use the style defined as ANSA style. So in both cases, my ANSA went out using the same style, and depending on true or false, I've got my true message and I've got my false message, and they're both going out. And then I went down and said, okay, now it's time to do a table. And I put the picture on one side, and then I set up scene two, did a print of scene two, and then I am now dropping down and asking the next question. And again, each one of these is called answer. Okay, and again, the reason for that is to group them all, because radio buttons can only have one in a group checked. Okay, and if I give them different names, then they become different groups. And then I'm going to be sending over the value for answer, and the value for answer is dependent on which one I click. I'm going to get syncing, using, or dumping. Okay, so I'm sending over one of those three things, syncing, using, or dumping. Okay, so again, going back, if I say the right answer and send it over, it's you are correct, and it puts out a message. And then I put in two pictures, and I was done. Okay. And in my scene two response here, I have the same structure. I set up the thing that tells what it is in green. Then I receive the answer. And remember, I'm getting those three words. Dumping being one of them. I don't remember what the others were. Syncing is one of them.
Using.
Very good. So I now take in whatever the answer is. I set up my true message, my false message, and my styles. And then in my answer, I came down and said, if answer equals syncing or answer equals using, because those are both the wrong answers, then I'm going to put out the false message, else I'm putting out the true message. Okay. And then I put out the images below. Okay, so I did another level of the table because I wanted images on either side. So my table ended up being a table that I put those in. So I put in a table where I put in those two images. So when you do this, what I want you to do is I want you to play with radio buttons. I want you to do a little bit of those here docs or whatever they are, where you do the three less than signs. So I want you to do some of the things that I did on this. I want to see some images in here. Okay. And I helped myself to the images. Obviously, if you wanted to, you could link to the images. But I helped myself to them. But I did at least cite them so that I don't think I go to court. Okay.
Impressive.
And besides, I have educational, for educational reasons. Yeah.
Did we already go over the drop-down menu and scroll?
What drop down?
Like referring to the memo. I noticed in the former sentence under the memo, looks like there's a drop down and scrolls. It's drop down and scrolls next to the buttons.
Drop down and scrolls. Wait a minute.
Yeah, you know how in the memo you have you want the Catherine's, for the whole of Catherine's children.
Right.
You want the whole name explained.
Right.
That way, I think that's
what, is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Well, one of them is what you use, one of them is what you show on the screen, and one of them is what you use. Like, well, if I go back one. This is what I'm showing on the screen. This is the value that I'm sending. Okay, so I can have two things there. One is what I show on the screen, and the other is what I'm sending. So if I'm showing on the screen...
He means, though, for the user, like, you go and click the arrow, which gives you the drop-down. You have, like, a set of...
Okay, we'll bring that up in a minute. Let me finish this, and then we'll go back and look at what you're talking about, because I'm getting lost. Okay, so...
The actual format of it?
Pretty much the drop-down experience.
Yeah, well, as I said, we'll go back and look at that in a minute. But, okay, so here I've got sinking the boat, and the value is sinking. And so it receives either sinking, using, or dumping. And that's what it checks. Okay, but that's what's sent over. Okay, questions on this? Okay, so that's what I want you to write. Okay, so I want you for next week to come up with a game. And as I said, okay, Lewis and Clark Adventure. Oops, it can't be found. I actually didn't check that. Oh, well. It's always been there up until now. Well, I will try to find it someplace else. But the Lewis and Clark Adventure was something very similar to what I did. And that was kind of a model that I had, and there's other models out there. And I will try to find Lewis and Clark again and see what they did with it. I didn't click on that. And that shows you, when you put up a web page, you should click on everything. And I'm getting too callous that I should have clicked on that. That's been there for quite a few years. Okay, but apparently Lewis and Clark has now left. It was what? The National Geographic. Well, it looks like they've got lots of examples here, so I'll pretend like I knew that and that's what I thought. Because it looks like they've got multiple examples out here. Okay, now, you asked about the memo one.
Yes.
So that was in what week? Second group or third group?
Yeah, second group.
Second group. And it was which one? It was sentence.
Yeah.
Okay, so I've got sentence.html. Okay, so if you look at sentence, the first one, I said size equals 4 noun, but there are 7 things here. So since there are 7 things, and I said size equals 4, it only shows 4 of them and puts the scroll bar in for the others. Okay, so if I bring up this one, cisweb.bristolcc.edu, S18, and then what is it called? Second group. Okay, so this is showing only 4 things, and so that's showing the 4. On the next one, I didn't tell it anything about size, so it defaults to one. Okay, so I didn't say anything about size on the next one, so it defaults to one. Okay, the radio buttons, it puts them all up.
Yeah, I get it.
You get it?
I get it now.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
And on the colors, I again went to size equals 7. So since I did size equals 7, it shows them all. And I'm not real clear why it puts in a view that are using other browsers. If you are, why do I get that grayed out thing there? I would think that it would decide not to put it up at all since it's not usable. But it's there. It's not usable, but it's there.
Maybe it's just to kind of make that feeling, of there's something to choose.
I think it's if you put the 7 in, you said there were 7. But I think if you put more than 7 options, it's only going to show you 7. So you can still put more than that, I believe. It just starts scrolling from there.
Right. So, but then I would think, I agree with that analysis, but I would think that what it would do is add the scroll bar when it found that out.
It's got to be ingrained in the options. It's just like with lists, you're
going to
have
them. Yeah. I swear that didn't, and you know, I'm probably not remembering right, but I swear it didn't used to be there that when I didn't have, when it was showing everything.
What if you put the...
Anybody got Chrome up and working with Chrome?
Yeah, I am.
Does it look the same in Chrome?
So far everything has looked the same.
Come on.
I have the scroll, but it's just like it was.
No, I'm seeing that.
Yeah, that's odd.
But you're not?
I'm not seeing it.
Okay. Whatever. That's interesting. Okay, I don't want to start the next topic with 7 minutes to go, so we are going to call it quits. On Thursday, we're doing loops. And then we will basically be done with that stuff, and then we start SQL. So those of you who've already had Oracle get to be... well, let's say you get a review or you get to be bored, whichever way you want to look at it. But we're going to go through and look at MySQL, which is another database. And it's the database we're working with. And we're going to introduce SQL.
We need passwords right
now. Huh?
Should have sent us passwords.
They should have sent you that.
Yeah, this is
the second one.
Yeah. The second one should have been all set to get into that. And we're going to play around with it and putty just a little bit, but then we'll go in and see that you can actually do all of the maintenance in PHP. But you need to know the basics of SQL, and for those of you who haven't had Oracle, we are going to do some SQL.
So far, all of the languages...